With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. Mike Tagliere is not with us today, but we do have the great Kyle Yates and the hunky Joe Pisapia is joining the show. He's on Twitter at JoePisapia17. Yates is at KyleYNFL, and I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Yates, how's it going, man?
Good. I'm excited. I actually get to talk to Joe for like the first time ever. So Joe, welcome. Welcome in. It's nice to hear your voice.
I know, right? We only virtually ever speak on the stupid internet, but here we are finally talking sort of in person, kind of, sort of. But really what this is about is it takes two people to make up the majesty that is the missing Mike Tagliere. I think that's pretty obvious. So when Mike's not around, we got to fill, like, it's got to be me and Yates. Well, I had like 4 other people just to kind of get up to the level of Mike Tagliere. I think that's what this is all about.
He's pretty awesome, isn't he? You know, he made up some excuse to come on the show. And in fact, he didn't do it until he realized that you were coming on the show, Joe.
He's scared of me. That's why he's scared.
Even though he's beat you like 4 times in fantasy.
Yeah, I was the first guy to have a lead on him. I heard you actually had a puncher's chance there, Yates. Is that true?
That's true. Dan and I teamed up and I think he only beat us by like 7 points. It was super close.
That's very nice. Very nice. Well done. We're getting closer. He's getting weaker. Weakening him. It's like when you fight a bigger man than you, you just got to take him out like a piece at a time. And then eventually he's down to your level.
Tags is huge, by the way. He is a big, strong man.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if you guys are just listening to the show, by the way, you can check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/fantasypros. And you can also check out that Fantasy Feud podcast we were talking about. Those are always a lot of fun. But Joe Pisapia, he's the author of the #1 selling Fantasy Black Book series. He hosts the Fantasy Black Book podcast. He's a TV host at Sports Grid, host for DFS at LineStar App Pod. You do everything, Joe. When do you ever sleep, man?
I actually get a pretty good night's sleep. I'm getting old now, so like by like 11:30 or so, that's it for me. I'm done. But yeah, that's a lot of jobs, man. I feel like I kind of need a rest after hearing all of them, to tell you the truth. That's a lot of things I do.
And you're on the Fantasy Pros Football podcast like full-time almost too.
Pretty much, which is great. I'm all about it. I love it here. This is like my second home. I will say this though. You know what? It beats the hell out of working for a living. I'd rather be doing this all day. Like, I've got like 7 hours worth of radio and TV to do today, but you know what? I don't care. Like, that's a hell of a lot better than other jobs. You know what I mean?
Right. So guys, before we get into the content, and by the way, we're going to be talking about 10 guys we don't want to draft. Each of us has a list. We're going to count down. Maybe we'll get to all 30 of them. I don't know. Because, you know, whenever Joe comes on the show, we always go long anyway. So we probably get to like 5 each. But anyways, we've got a contest going on Tuesday, July 14th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. You guys are going to have your chance to beat Tags. It's the Beat Tags Draft Contest. You can check out the details at fantasypros.com/mock. Basically what it comes down to is over on our YouTube channel, which again you can find at youtube.com/fantasypros, you'll have a chance to take part in a draft. And if you beat Tags, you're going to win a free 6-month Fantasy Pros premium subscription. Entering only takes seconds. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros and fill out a really short form at fantasypros.com/mock. We're going to be selecting participants for the mock Friday, July 10th. So please be sure to get your entries in as soon as possible. Again, head on over to fantasypros.com/mock for details. All right, you guys ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Joe, we are going to let you go first. Ooh. And there is going to be some, you know, we're going to have some similar players. So if that happens, you'll just say, oh, I had that guy at five, and then we'll just skip him in the future. So, Joe, so that we don't steal your first guy, who do you have at 10?
All right, well, I'm going to start here, and it's not because the guy's not good. It's not because he might not be great. It's because I don't like to spend first round draft capital on a guy that I have questions about. And unfortunately, I still have questions about Alvin Kamara. Like, I understand that he's right there in the top five on the Fantasy Pros list. I completely understand that. You can make the argument for him without a doubt. I love the Saints. I love Kamara's talent. But I have questions. I don't know exactly, is he going to hold up as that number one over the whole season? Is he going to be a guy that can carry a full kind of workload? And because there's questions, because there's unknown, I would rather invest in other guys. And that's just me. Like, I would even trade out of that spot if I could, if I was at number five, because I feel like I like some of the guys that go after that and I can use an extra pick a couple rounds later. So that's the only reason for Kamara. Again, it's not a knock on the talent, not a knock on the player. It's just more of a philosophical thing where when I look at the first round, I want to get somebody who is a lock or as close to it as we could possibly get in football. So that's my reasoning there. So Kamara is number one on my list.
ECR number four, that's the expert consensus rank. So the majority of experts have him in that 3, 4, 5 range. Just how low do you have him, Joe?
Like in the Black Book, he is a little bit lower there. He is more in that 6, 7, 8 kind of range, you know, depending on the format. And again, like it's looking at it like where is, you know, like Derrick Henry is his offense, right? You know, I love that about him. That's one of my favorite things. You know, you look at Julio Jones as a guy that always getting 1,300 yards. I mean, some of the value there on this board is really good in the first round. And I like to take as many question marks as I possibly can when I'm building early on. And this is something in the Black Book we talk about, that roster core strength, you know. And you could take shots later on a million guys. There's so many good players this year to be taking shots on as the draft goes on. Maybe not a million, maybe slightly less. That could be hyperbole. I might be exaggerating that number. But overall, man, I think there's enough talent here where you can, you know, certainly get some bonus players. But I don't like that in the first round, man. I know what Zeke is. I don't put him in that Zeke category. I think I know what Saquon is, too, which is all world. And CMC, we've already seen the last 2 years of how good he's been. And I would feel more comfortable with Michael Thomas over Kamara at number five, to be honest with you.
Yates, where do you have Kamara?
I have Kamara at 4, right in line with ECR.
Okay. I've got him at number 2. And actually, Yates, I was going to let you go second, but mine kind of ties in with what Joe's saying. And the reason I'm not drafting Saquon Barkley, he's one of my players to avoid. And that sounds crazy because it's Saquon Barkley, right? But it's because I'd rather have Kamara. I'd rather have Ezekiel Elliott. I'd rather have Michael Thomas. I've got Saquon Barkley, number 5 on my big board. I mean, you look at Alvin Kamara and look, I get it. He hasn't exactly carried a full workload, but he just breaks the mold of what a guy like that can do. Jamal Charles never carried a full workload, and we were drafting top 5 every single year. Alvin Kamara is exceptional. He's game script proof. And then just check this out, okay? First 7 weeks of the season, it gets Tampa, the Raiders, the Packers, the Lions, the Chargers, the Panthers.
Tampa was a really good run defense last year.
Really good run defense, but what did Kamara do against them through the air? He tore them
fair,
up.
Fair baby. Enough.
Because they're horrible against pass catching backs.
He's also never carried the ball 200 times in a season. I know he came close in 2018, but still, I mean, you know, we're not looking at a 250 carry guy, but you're right. In PPR, you know, 3 straight years of 81 receptions is understandable why you're so excited about it. I just, like I said, it's just the concern about, you know, where we are with that workload and how it is. And look, you know, we've seen guys have great 3-year runs and then disappear, which is crazy when you think about it, but it does happen.
And Kamara was playing injured last year as well. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the schedule, but really what it comes down to is he plays for a much better offense than Saquon Barkley. So does Ezekiel Elliott. So does Michael Thomas. And Saquon, they're going to be trailing in a lot of games. I get it. He catches passes as well. But Saquon Barkley was dealing with the injury last year, and he just really did not look very good. He starts out his season against Pittsburgh, Chicago, and the 49ers. Tags mentioned this a couple podcasts ago. I don't want to draft a guy like that who's going to be struggling through 3 weeks. You can trade for him at week 4, week 5. And I get it. You might not be able to. It might still cost you your first-round pick, but I would rather just not waste the draft capital on somebody whose stock is going to drop within the first month. Yates, where do you have Saquon?
I have Saquon at 2. So I'm going to disagree with both of you here. I think that,
yeah,
you know,
now it's a show.
You know, with Kamara, like we've talked about 1,500 total yards each of his first two seasons, 2017 and 2018. And he finishes the RB3 and RB4 both of those seasons. Last year, Bobby mentioned it. He was dealing with injuries. We're talking about his back, his ankle. I mean, even his leg, he was really, really banged up all last season, still finished with 81 total receptions. And guys, like he still finishes the RB12 on the season. Like, you know, I think that he has an extremely safe floor, where if we're talking about some of these other, you know, first round draft picks that we've talked about in previous years, where if they get injured, hello, David Johnson, you know, like he's gone, like he disappears, right? And I don't think that Kamara, even if he doesn't get back to the form of 1500 total yards, and again, like I've mentioned it in previous podcasts, 2018, you know, 18 total touchdowns, that's a very hard mark to hit. So even if he doesn't get there, though, he still is going to finish within the top 10, and he's still going to bring you boom weeks if he is fully healthy, and that from every indication, he's fully healthy.
There's just something for me, guys, about Kamara not having Ingram anymore that I guess there's that's the looming question for me. And I think he was so effective in those first 2 years because that 1-2 punch was just really a lot for opposing defenses to catch up to. And I'm just saying, like, that was just way too much. And I think that's why you saw these touchdown totals go through the roof, because, you know, nobody knew what to do and nobody could keep up with what they were doing. And it was very difficult to guard against. And I think last year, when you take that away, it becomes slightly more predictable. But look, the injury was certainly something to be concerned with. But Saquon was injured too, and I have Saquon like you, Kyle, up at number two. So, I mean, there you go. So, I mean, I guess it all depends on you know, what you think body type-wise will bounce back better, perhaps. But look, everybody's an injury risk in the NFL. We know that.
Yeah. All right, Yates, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this like it's a snake draft. So you're going to do 10 and 9 back-to-back here.
Okay, well, this really isn't a huge one, guys, so I'm just going to briefly touch on it. It's Philip Rivers. I'm not going anywhere near Philip Rivers this season. I think that he's ECR 23 right now, so he's kind of still in some conversation for a starter. I think some people are going to look at him on the waiver wire some weeks and are going to be, you know, enticed by him. Over the past three seasons, guys, Philip Rivers has 48 total rushing attempts for 34 total yards. You know, the rushing total is so critical for fantasy production from the quarterback position. And Philip Rivers is aging. He's 38 years old now. And he has the type of arm with his throwing motion that if his arm gives out, like, it's going to go out like quick. And so I was never a huge fan of the signing by the Colts to bring in Philip Rivers. And I think that this offense is going to be built around their run game. Why would you take it? You know, why would you put the ball in Philip Rivers' hands if you're running behind the best offensive line with Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack? You know, so I don't think that he's going to come anywhere close to 597 total attempts like he had last year. This is just a guy that I do not want any part of.
Even in a two quarterback league.
I'm going to be staying far away. I might, you know, in a two quarterback league on bye weeks. Sure. You know, I'll entertain that just because there aren't many other options outside of that. But man, he's someone who I just do not want any part of.
He's one of these guys where the ADP is higher than the ECR, which means the experts are lower than the public on Philip Rivers. So, okay, Yates, a couple guys behind Rivers. Tell me who you'd rather have, or all of them. Gardner Minshew, Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, Tyrod Taylor.
I think the only other one who I might have, like, that might give me a pause there is Sam Darnold. But I think that I have Darnold ranked ahead of him.
Yeah, he's right in that range for me with Sam Darnold, Derek Carr. I've got the other ones ahead of him. Joe, do you disagree?
I do, only because you look at the track record of Rivers. He was never a running quarterback anyway. And Kyle's right. You know, you like the quarterbacks like Cam Newton, who can actually, you know, to a certain extent, dictate their fantasy value every week by having the ball in their hands more, by running the football, by scoring rushing touchdowns. And that's the thing that's not to be undervalued or underlooked as well. But Rivers is going from the worst O-lines to one of the best O-lines in football, and supporting him with a very good running game, I think, is a big plus at this stage in his career. And I love these guys on one-year deals, too, because I feel like there's that whole prove-it kind of thing. And Frank Reich and him go back a long ways. They go back to the Charger days, and the OC there was the quarterback coach. And it's, you know, so the verbiage of going into a new system and what happens with a new playbook can be a little, you know, a little daunting and enough to kind of scare you off a guy. But in Rivers' situation, this is actually one of those weird moments where everything kind of aligns for him. I would take him over Minshew for sure, over Bridgewater. But so over all those guys, Locke is the only one that gives me a little pause, because I just love the weapon so much. Like, I'm wondering if Locke is just too big to fail this year as a QB2, a low-end one at that, but still a QB2. But I think Rivers is kind of in that mid to low range QB2 super flex range. I don't think you'll have the luxury of taking him as a third guy, unless it's like a 10-team league. I don't think that's going to happen. But as your second quarterback, I think you could do worse. Again, one-year deals, man, sometimes they're magical in the NFL.
All right, Yates, who do you have at number 9?
I'm going to tick some people off with this one, guys. Darius Geis. Is ECR and ADP RB30. I have him nowhere near that.
Is he even going to start, man?
No. And I mean,
they've got Adrian Gibson.
Here's the thing that is going to tick people off. Here's the thing that's going to tick people off. I think Darius Geis is more of a candidate to be cut than he is to be the starter. Now, I think that, you know, you're looking at this team and you're saying J.D. McKissic is their third down back. They've come out and said that they're going to use him in that capacity. Antonio Gibson was a high draft capital investment by them, third rounder, and he's going to be used all over the formation. They're going to get him into the slot. They're going to use him as a pass catcher out of the backfield, give him some carries on the ground as well. And then you're looking at a new coaching staff who they now have a very, very solid defensive line, and you just want dependability from your running backs. And who is more dependable in the NFL right now than Adrian Peterson? And so I think while AP doesn't have the ceiling that he did in previous years, and I'm not sitting here saying that we need to be drafting Adrian Peterson for fantasy football, I'm saying that Darius Geis, for an NFL team, your RB3 or RB4 needs to have special teams value, and Geis doesn't have that. Geis hasn't stayed healthy. He only has, I think, 43 total carries on his, you know, in his career. He's looked great when he's given the opportunity, when he's been able to be on the field. But I actually think there is a path here for the new coaching staff to move on from Darius Geis. And you still have guys, Peyton Barber behind him, that this coaching staff brought in this offseason.
My mind is blown that he's number 30 right now. And maybe you disagree, Joe, but I've got him outside my top 40. I mean, a couple guys I'd rather have than him, Tariq Cohen, James White.
Well, I'd rather have White than him right now, for sure.
Damian Williams. Yeah, I just don't see the upside with Geis, and there's also the threat that he loses his job to Antonio Gibson or Adrian Peterson, who was still really good last season. He was just behind a bad offensive line. So before we move on, Joe, do you disagree?
No, look, I'd love to defend Darius Geis, but it's impossible. I mean, the guy's been hurt so much. It's very difficult. I think he will slip lower than even 30. I just feel like that's going to happen in a lot of drafts. I think all of it happens, too, of where you end up. Like, how many running backs do you have before you take him, too? If you have three, that's different. If you have four, oh my God. You know, if you have two, that's a little dicey. So much of this has to do with roster construction, but I mean, it is really difficult to defend Darius Geis. And it's tough because, like, last year when he played those two games, you saw it and you go, oh my God, look at this. And I had him in DFS one of those weeks and it was brilliant. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be fantastic. This is going to be a cheap guy for a couple weeks. And then, unfortunately, there he was back on the injured list. And that's just not where you want to be. And it's where he spent the majority of his career. So, I'm a hard pass there too, probably, unless I get him really late.
All right, guys, we're going to skip over me for my next one because I did have Darius Geis on my list. First, Joe, before we move on to you for your next two, I wanted to tell you guys about our draft assistant. So our draft assistant can sync with your league's online draft and provide pick suggestions for you in real time. It's the same exact thing as our draft simulator, except it happens during your live draft and updates with your league. The manual draft assistant can provide suggestions for your offline drafts as well, and our pick predictor shows which players have the highest odds of getting taken before your next pick. We've got custom cheat sheet integration, and it is simple and easy to use. You're going to love it. It's at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Again, that's our draft assistant. All right, Joe, on to you for your next two. Who do you have?
All right, well, the first one is a tight end here, and it's Zach Ertz, and it's because I feel like he is closer to the pack than he is to that elite group. And when you look at the touchdown total and you look at Dallas Goedert being there and, you know, look at some of the adjustments they've made over the season, I just feel like Zach Ertz is good, but we keep trying to have that season that happened 2 years ago happen again. And touchdowns
are very
difficult.
How good is he really, though? Because isn't good efficient?
Yeah.
He just is a guy who gets a ton of targets. He's not efficient.
Well, he gets a ton of targets by default, too, because of the lack of wide receivers in that
right,
offense.
And now they have those wide receivers.
And they have Miles Sanders, too, who I think has really emerged as a legitimate weapon in that offense, too.
And so, Dallas Goedert, who might be better.
Ding, ding, ding. So I think the problem is not that Ertz isn't a good player. It's that, is he a good player at the third tight end spot? And I think that's why, like, in the Black Book, RPV will tell you, no, like, why are you reaching for him? That's crazy. You can go and get Waller or Andrews or, you know, take a shot on Evan Ingram or somebody like that. And I think he's much closer to that pack of guys right now going into 2020. And this is what's so important is, you know, track record's important. It's something we want to look at, but we also really need to focus on what does this team look like right now? And is it going to change in 2020? And how is that going to impact him? And I think people are still chasing that season from a few years ago of him where everything broke right and the touchdown total was high. I just don't see that happening. And the second guy for me on my list is David Johnson, who was already mentioned on this podcast. And you want to talk about done? Watching him try to run the football last year was done. Back injuries are tough. I don't get this one, man. I really don't. Like, talk about trying to live in the past. The only thing worse than this is everybody's still trying to go back to Josh Gordon's one season and trying to relive that and make that happen. Like, this is the most member berries thing we could possibly do. And yes, David Johnson had some incredible fantasy moments, and I get it. It was special. It was awesome.
But what about them trading everything they traded for him? Doesn't that tell you that they plan on using him a ton?
They're gonna try. Like, I think Arizona tried to use him a ton last year. And
he was good when they used him. He was a top 10 fantasy running back while he was healthy.
Well, Chase Edmonds was an RB1 a couple weeks too when they used him. I think it's you know, the offense lends itself to that too. So I want to put that out there. So my whole point is this. Yes, they're going to try to use him. I have real concerns about the whole makeup of the Texans right now in terms of the offense, and knowing and seeing what I saw last year, David Johnson on the field. I just think it's a really difficult investment to make.
All right, Yates, what do you think? Ertz, David Johnson, do you have any problems with either of those two?
I'll touch on Ertz really quick. I think that I definitely get the argument that you're having to pay up for Zach Ertz, and the path for him to return value on that is very difficult, right? The only argument that I can see in his favor is that Alshon Jeffrey seems like he's on a path to start the season on the pup. And so if that's the case, then you're talking about a bunch of targets that have opened up. And I think that Zach Ertz is going to see 7 to 8 targets a game, you know, at the beginning of the season, which is going to be a value at that point. Then can you potentially trade him at that point? You know, that's a whole other conversation. But so I think that's the argument and the tension with Zach Ertz right now. But I definitely get what Joe is saying, that there is a definite path that Zach Ertz does not return value for you, especially when you have to pay up and there are so many other enticing options behind him. As for David Johnson, he was on my list, guys. So I totally agree with Joe here that this is a guy that I just do not want any part of. This is a guy that I think, you know, from what he put on display last season, he just did not look like himself. And when I have to make that decision, I'm sitting, you know, in my draft and I'm sitting there staring a few of these options that are around that same range in the face. And I go, I can have this guy or I can have David Johnson, who comes with a ton of question marks. And I don't see a true ceiling because the path for David Johnson to have a true ceiling is for him to be the pass catcher in this backfield. And Duke Johnson's still there. So, you know, I don't think that he's going to be utilized that way. So I don't think there's a true ceiling here. And if you're not going to be able to take the chance on someone who has the ceiling to get into the top 12 running backs, then, you know, you're just kind of wasting a pick, in my opinion. Where are you going to feel comfortable rolling David Johnson out each week? I don't think so.
So Zach Ertz was my number two, actually. So we're just going to skip me again.
He was my number two. Look at that. Yeah, look at us together.
Out on Ertz big time for all the reasons I already mentioned. Extraordinarily inefficient. 1.70 fantasy points per target over the last 10 years is just dreadful when you look at the rest of the list of all the tight ends ahead of him. He is way down there. He's below Dallas Goedert as well. So we're going to skip past me. Yates, you mentioned that David Johnson was one of yours. So we're going to skip one of yours this time. Just give us one more name.
Bobby's just he's giving us the stage today. He's letting us shine. You know, Tags is on here. He chews the scenery. He talks forever about all kinds of things. You know, how great Aaron Rodgers is and blah, blah. You know, all that stuff. This is our time, Kyle.
Here we go. I'm going to go with a very similar argument to Joe's argument there with David Johnson. It's Todd Gurley, guys. Gurley is probably a player that I am going... Todd Gurley is probably a guy who I am going to have no shares of in redraft leagues this year unless he just falls drastically. You know, if I'm in a league with 11 other people and they all have the same mentality that I'm not going to draft Todd Gurley and he falls a couple rounds, I'll take him. But everything looks great for Todd Gurley from a projection standpoint. If you remove the fact that he's dealing with arthritis in his knee.
Always had,
you know, injuries, whatever. If you just remove that and you talk about his opportunity here in this Atlanta Falcons offense.
Yeah, baby.
I think we'd be drafting him as a top five running back. Like, he can put up incredible numbers if he was truly healthy.
Talking yourself into him, aren't you?
No. Hold on. No, the issue is that he's not fully healthy. And he never will be. I don't think he's ever going to be back to the place that we saw him with the Rams a couple of years ago, finishing his back-to-back RB1s. It's not going to happen. And I think that if he was going to be to that place, the Rams wouldn't have taken a ton of dead money to cut him and to move on from him this offseason. So, man, Todd Gurley, again, I think from a projection standpoint, and if you're looking at his opportunity, everything looks great, and some people are going to be sucked into that. But he's someone who I don't want any part of in 2020.
They took a ton of dead money because They signed Jared Goff to like a $1 billion contract. One of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Todd Gurley was dealing with arthritis in his knee in college. And then he comes out in 2017, the number one fantasy football running back 2018, dealing with the arthritis, number one fantasy football running back. Back in 2016, he was dreadful. 3.2 yards per attempt. And the reason why is the offensive line in Los Angeles was among the worst in the league. Same thing happened last year. And so he struggled. They didn't use him in third downs because they were like, oh, we're going to take it easy on him because of his knee. In the second half, they realized, oh, he can handle it. We're going to give him the work. And he was very good again, even despite a bad offensive line. Now he goes to a better offensive line. He goes to a team who's going to pass him the ball. He's on a one-year contract, so they're just going to run him into the ground. And this is one of the more talented running backs in football. Even with his knee problems, how many games has he missed in the five-year career that he's had? He missed three in his rookie season. Besides that, he missed one in 2017, two in 2018, one in 2019. That's nothing. That's one of the most durable running backs in football.
I want to jump in here.
Okay, you're the tiebreaker then, because I've got Todd Gurley right now as my RB12 ahead of Miles Sanders.
I got to say, Kyle, it's, you know, I didn't want to do this with you the first time out here, but I have to be on Bobby's side here.
Yeah,
the,
baby, the let's go.
Is, you know, don't take it personally, Kyle. No, please don't. I love you very much. But I think you have to take the risk here because the other thing that disappeared were those receptions. And that's not going to be the case in Atlanta. They're going to throw nobody throws the ball more than them anyway. Like, they're going to throw the ball to Todd Gurley. Again, I keep going back to this. I love the one-year show-me contracts. In the NFL, these are what guys roll into. This is their last chance, especially running backs, to go get paid. And I think for Gurley, it's a unique situation where you're right. Kyle's definitely right. There's risk there. There's no doubt about it. And part of it does matter where you get him. Would I take him over Fournette? I don't know. Like, that gets dicey. But then you got guys like Chris Carson. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell in the offense he's in and Melvin Gordon in a new offense. Like, those are all questions to me, too. Like, you know, that I'll take none of those guys have what the upside of Todd Gurley can be. So I will go with Todd Gurley. Now, I will say this, too. I feel much better about taking Todd Gurley if I'm a Zeke owner or a CMC owner or say. So if you're going to get him, which is kind of where he's going ADP wise. So I think it kind of makes sense that if you have one of those, you know, top elite running backs that you just love, it's much easier to go take a shot on Todd Gurley, whereas, you know, if you have somebody that you're in like with, then I think a Todd Gurley pick is potentially cumbersome to you. So I will take the risk on Todd Gurley. I took the risk last year on Todd Gurley. It was much more expensive last year to do it. It is much cheaper to do it this year. So I'm just going to double down on it.
Yeah, baby. Yep.
Sorry, Kyle. I'm going to send you an edible arrangement because I feel like this is not the way I wanted to get off on the first foot.
I won't say no to that. I guess the question is, like, you're looking at these guys in this kind of range. So I'm just going to throw out, like, yeah. Melvin Gordon. Would you rather have Melvin Gordon or would you rather have Todd Gurley?
I want them both, man. I want Todd Gurley. He's my number 12. I've got Melvin Gordon number 14.
I would take Gurley over him.
What about someone like, we mentioned Chris Carson. He comes with his own concerns.
Well, that's sure. What I mean. Carson's right. Not healthy either. Right. He puts the ball on the ground a ton. I mean, Hyde is there. God forbid he starts fumbling again. Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Adam Gase just, I mean, I can't do that to myself.
Right.
I can't do it.
I'm taking Gurley over Eckler and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I know that's a debate for another day.
Yeah, Kyle's going to do an hour by himself about why that's not happening.
Hey, by the way, while I'm piling onto you, Yates, I just want to let everybody know who's listening to the show that snow cones are superior to coffee.
I was wondering when you were going to bring this up.
Wait a minute. What? How are you comparing snow cones and coffee?
Yates loves coffee and he was making fun of me for liking snow cones. He called me 6 years old. Dude, snow cones are delicious. Coffee snow tastes like dog turds.
He puts out a tweet. He's talking about like snow cones. And I was like, why are you talking about snow cones right now? Are you 6 years old? Like, who eats snow cone? And then I found out that this is apparently like a big thing.
It's a big thing.
Towns,
man,
have like snow cone places.
Well, my neighbor got for her kid's birthday last year. They got one of those trucks that showed up on the driveway where we all got to like make our own.
Exactly.
Snow cones.
Yeah, dude, that sounds great
for a kid's birthday party.
Honestly, that was pretty awesome though. But they also had like the boozy version for the adults too. So like, okay. You could spike it, which was, again, it's like everyone's having a great party. Woo! Hey, don't do that. Oh, whatever. Do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm three snow cones deep right now.
Snow cones are amazing. We can talk about this all day, though, so we're going to keep moving. All right, guys. Before we keep moving, I want to stop for just a minute and say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Dynasty Owner. The best fantasy football leagues are those where every owner constantly pays attention, responds to trade offers, changes their lineup, and are always looking to improve their team, right? There's no off-season for these owners. And that's who you're going to be challenging yourself against in Dynasty Owner. Other elite fantasy football players who are committed to competing. Dynasty Owner is the only fantasy football platform with a patent game using actual NFL salaries and contracts. Combine this with a salary cap, elite trading options, advanced team rosters, and devoted elite owners to compete against, and you're faced with the same decisions NFL owners and general managers must make. If you're ready to take on the best, then don't miss out. Join the waitlist at www.dynastyowner.com, and please be sure to select Fantasy Pros Podcast as your source. Again, that's www.dynastyowner.com. Joe, I know you just came to my defense, but you are a major jerk. You're taking Zach Ertz from me.
This is also
so
true.
I'm using my number one right now. I'm not saving it. I'm not taking any chance that somebody steals my player. All right. And I know this is going to make people really, really mad. In fact, if you're easily triggered, you might want to just skip ahead like 1 or 2 minutes because there's no way I'm drafting Patrick Mahomes this year. There's no chance whatsoever that I'm drafting Patrick Mahomes this year. And here's the reason why. I'd rather have Dak Prescott. And that's not just at ADP. That's overall. And Patrick Mahomes is going 4 rounds earlier. So here's what it comes down to, okay? I posted all the numbers. I said pass attempts per game, and Dak Prescott was 3 higher.
Well, he's really prepared for this. Listen to him go.
I said yards per attempt, and guess what? Dak Prescott was the same. I said rushing touchdowns per game. Dak Prescott was triple over the last 4 years. Interception rate, okay. Patrick Mahomes is a little bit better. Touchdown rate, very similar. And I said, which one would you rather have? And it was 68% of people voted for Dak Prescott, not knowing it was Dak Prescott because of the increased volume and because he runs the ball better than Mahomes. And then I shared, okay, this guy's going 4 rounds later. I'm not drafting Patrick Mahomes in the 2nd round when he's my QB3. Get out of here with that.
Can I make one caveat? In Superflex, this changes the conversation.
You might get body slammed, so you better be careful.
Well, I bring it. Bring it, sister. Let's go anytime when you're ready to go. No, I would say this. I think you're making a really good argument, and your argument for Prescott's very good. I mean, last year in 2019 Black Book, Dak Prescott was the best return on investment quarterback on the board, and I do the
they
quarterback.
They throw the ball a ton. He's got a much better offensive line. He's got better weapons. They had the most yards per play of any offense in football last year.
In terms of single quarterback leagues, I totally get where you're coming from, and I think that the bigger problem that you're not even mentioning is when you reach for a Lamar or a Mahomes early. The one thing you are doing is then you better have a good plan and you better be really good in terms of who you're picking up at wide receiver and running back afterwards. That's the thing. Like, you better have a lot of confidence or a lack of confidence in your league mates, one of the two or both, in order to pull all that off. And you can make it work. I think you can in your casual football leagues make that work. In Superflex, it's a whole different discussion because you want that advantage of one of those top quarterbacks if you can get it early. And then if it's a PPR Superflex, you have a lot more maneuverability in terms of how many flex spots and what else you're going to do. So I just want to put that caveat on there. I understand where you're coming from. Kyle, how do you feel about it?
Bobby, you're nuts, man. The reason why, I mean, and you said to take out ADP, like, you just have Dak Prescott ranked over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yep.
So the difference here.
Yeah. I don't know if I go that far.
The difference here and what, like, you left out one crucial stat is that Patrick Mahomes has hit 50 passing touchdowns before. And he has a very, very good chance to hit that ridiculous number again this year.
No, he does
not. I'm not saying.
No, he does not.
Do you smell
that,
boys and girls? It smells like a wager.
Okay, so you're saying that he has a chance of being top 5 in touchdown rate again, which is a highly volatile stat.
I'm not saying that I am
projecting
that.
Everyone knew he was going to plummet 15 touchdowns last year because of his touchdown rate, and that's exactly what happened. Now, I mean, I get it. He had the injury as well, but he was 24 touchdowns fewer because – guess what? He's dropped to the 5.4% touchdown rate that everybody expected because that's Tom Brady's touchdown rate. That's a little bit lower than Aaron Rodgers' career touchdown rate. Is Patrick Mahomes potentially historically great? Yes, but even if he is, that still means we're looking at a career 5.5 or 6.0 touchdown rate, not the 8.6 that he had to have that ridiculous season.
With, like, what I'm saying is that I'm not projecting Patrick Mahomes with 50 I would be ridiculous to sit down and project that, right? But what I'm saying is that he has the chance because he's done it before.
I think Dak Prescott has a better chance at 50 touchdowns because he is going to throw 600 passes. Well, Patrick Mahomes throws 520 because they're going to be up so often.
Why don't you guys put your snow cones where your mouth is and make a little wager here, and who has more passing touchdowns I'll if just you're Mahomes straight or
up,
Dak Prescott.
Straight absolutely up touchdowns. Yeah. Take that. I will absolutely go. Take that.
I'm like Loki on this show. That's what I am. When everyone brings me in, I'm chaos. I'm the guy who comes in and stirs the pot and then leaves because I don't have to deal with the aftermath of it.
Loser of the bet, since Tags isn't here and he's never going to hear this probably, loser of the bet has to give Tags a surprise good game slap in the butt.
I would do that. I would do that regardless.
The look on his face would be awesome because Tags is just, you can always get a great response out of him. Anyway, we got to keep moving. So, Joe, it's back to you for two. Who do you have, man?
I'm sure, still trying to get that image out of my head. All right. I'm going to go with, you want one or two here? We're going back
to
back again?
Two. Yeah, you're back to back because no one's stealing yours.
All right. I'm going to go, you know, piss off a lot of people too here. I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert. And,
oh, what?
There we go. You ready? There we go. See, we were friends before. Now we're enemies. See that? I just think whenever you have a guy who's been on five different teams in 5 years, there's something that's a red flag about. And you're telling me that five different organizations missed on this guy. You're telling me that this is a dude who, again, no spring chicken, mind you. I mean, he's going to be 28 years old this year. And I get it. Everybody loves the Kyle Shanahan offense. I totally understand that. I love it too. Everything's, you know, sunshine and roses. But you also look at the track record of the teams that have lost the Super Bowl in the last decade or so. Especially in fashion where they either got blown out or lost in a crucial, you know, horrible way, kind of like, you know, the 49ers had a lead and blew it. It's not good. The only two guys who came back in the last decade and had good seasons after losing a Super Bowl both happened to have won Super Bowls before that happened, and that was Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. So Tom Brady doesn't even count. You just take him and throw him away. And Russell Wilson, pretty much, you know, in that caliber of MVP talent. So the rest of the guys, man, you look at Cam Newton's post year, it was a terrible 2016 for him. You look at the year Matt Ryan and them lost the Super Bowl, everything regressed there. And I think when you're looking at that, I'm going to throw Jimmy Garoppolo on the pile too right now, because I don't want anything to do with the 49ers offense, period. I am out. I am out hardcore on the 49ers this year. I don't like the weapons. I think everything broke right for them at the right time.
Well, they also played the easiest strength of schedule last year.
They also did, and that's not going to be the case this year. And I'll tell you what, one more little salvo here too, that Deebo Samuel injury does not help things. I'm hoping he's going to be ready, like everybody says, earlier than later, but we've all seen those things turn into later far too often. And I think that really hurts this team. And I'm just trying to live in the realistic scenario here. And you go back and you look at the track record, Jared Goff after the Super Bowl. Again, I can go on and on with this and people can say, oh, it's a one off. I was like, no, it's a distinct trend. And it's very difficult to get to the mountaintop. And then everyone thinks, oh, you're going to be fine. I mean, hell, I can even go back as far as the last time the 49ers were in a Super Bowl with a young quarterback named Colin Kaepernick and a young head coach that everybody was loving so much. And everything looked so great and a great defense. And oh, they're going to be in it again year in, year out. No, they weren't. These things happen sometimes, and Mostert, I think, is closer to that CJ Anderson pile of fun fantasy football stories than he is to like the next emerging superstar, and that's just, I think, a fact we have to learn to live with. I'm done now.
What do you think about Mostert? Because I'm just gonna take
he's
it
fuming.
Easy.
I know that you're
everybody
fuming.
Who listens to the show knows exactly what I think. I'm just gonna pretend I didn't hear that.
I'm gonna have some coffee here and sip on it while Bobby stews. Here we go.
No, Bobby, I know that you're fuming, so I will, no, I'm just gonna, really quick, I think that I get the argument. We've also seen reports that Raheem Mostert is working on adding more weight to be able to withstand a heavier workload, and for a speed running back who relies on, you know, acceleration, it's not great. We've seen reports like that before. I definitely get Joe's argument that five other teams missed on this guy. You know, no, I don't think so. I think it's more so just a product of the system and the scheme. You know, he, on 137 attempts last year, had a 5.6 yards per carry. 5.6 is a very, very hard mark to repeat year after year. And so, you know, if we're talking about him then taking another step forward to hit around, 200 carries, 175, that's kind of the point where he'd be fantasy relevant, right? Because he's not much of a factor in the passing game. So then that's kind of where you need him to be. At that point, his, you know, 5.6 yards per carry, it's not going to be there. So I do have him, at RB27 right now, which is, his ADP is 26. So I'm right there in line with ADP.
Give me Kareem Hunt, who's at 28 over him every day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, like Raheem Mostert doesn't have the ceiling because Kyle Shanahan likes to divvy up the work in his running back.
That's so another issue.
Kareem Hunt has potential standalone value as a PPR, you know, asset, but then also he's a league winner if Nick Chubb goes down. So I totally, totally get your argument. I just think that, you know, there's too much going against Raheem Mostert here, but I am in line with ADP. So if he falls a little bit past that, I'll take him as my RB3 or 4.
Here's his ceiling. His ceiling is what he accomplished in the only eight games he started, one of the top five eight-game stretches in fantasy football last year. That's his ceiling. If he can repeat that, he's a top five running back.
Yeah, and if Peyton Hillis could have repeated it, he would have been on Madden the next year again.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about how Patrick Mahomes has done it before, and so he's more likely. Well, Raheem Mostert was incredible. The only reason people didn't realize it is because part of it happened during the playoffs, which, mind you, is against more difficult teams. And guess what? Tevin Coleman came back. Who was still getting the ball? Raheem Mostert, because he was so dang good. He's the starter in Shanahan's offense, even if he doesn't catch passes. Look, I'm not saying he's going to be a top five running back. I'm saying that's his ceiling, and he is a very good bet to outproduce his ADP.
So you would take him over Hunt, too?
I love Kareem Hunt, and I'm taking him over Hunt. Yeah, I've got Raheem Mostert as my number 21
running
back.
Them's fight words right there. I mean, a couple years ago, Kareem Hunt was basically a top five overall pick.
Yeah, and he would be if Nick Chubb would go away. He's good.
Yeah, well, Nick Chubb's not going away, but I think there's enough for everybody here in this offense, personally. I just do. It's from a fantasy perspective, at least, in terms of points on a weekly basis, I think there's enough here from Kareem Hunt from the start. And another guy, too, who's going to turn, I think, this year into a nice contract somewhere else. He was a good citizen last year. I expect him to, you know, look, we could have the Chubb conversation another day, too. I mean, Chubb's terrific, but that Kareem Hunt presence, man, I think people need to start accounting for it because he is the goods, man.
Imagine Hunt with Atlanta next year after Todd Gurley.
Oh, if there's two landing spots, that's one of them that I would just love to see him end up in.
Yes, that would be beautiful, wouldn't it? Well, what's your next one, Joe? I think you only gave one, right?
No, I gave you Jimmy G. I'm out on the 49ers. And again, this is more of a super flex thing. Like, we're talking about some of those guys on the board, later quarterbacks. I would rather take a shot on Cam Newton over him. I probably would even take Rivers because, again, the track record. You know, I look at the track record. Rivers is going to throw for 4,000 yards every single year. Like, that is just a lock.
Did you guys just hear that thunder?
I did, actually.
I did. I was wondering what that was.
Holy, that's my brother. Because I said I was Loki, and the thunder, all of a sudden, Thor's coming to get me now. That's where we're at, but I'll get out of this in time. He'll never catch me, I promise. But yeah, those are my two guys, so go ahead, you go.
All right, I'm taking this one. Yates, I'm sorry, man. I know he's on your list. He's probably your number one, but you know what? Eat it. Evan Ingram's my next guy, baby.
Yeah, he's on my list.
Yeah, where is he? Was he your number one? Did I get you?
No, four.
Oh, man, what a bummer. All right, why don't you explain why you dislike Evan Ingram?
So you bring up a guy and then I make your point for you?
Yes, yeah.
Is that how this works? Do you want Bobby to do all the work?
Yeah, seriously.
Guy, what are you doing?
No, I've just ranted on Evan Ingram enough that I want your perspective as well. I did it on an episode where it was just Tags and I.
No, yeah, I'll just mention it briefly that there are plenty of things working against Evan Ingram this season for him to return value of where he's being drafted. I mean, ECR 6 last time I checked, he's like in this upper echelon of these tight ends. And you got a guy who's coming off a foot surgery that happened in December. You have, and he's cutting now and he's looking fine, but that's still a factor. You have a very crowded receiving core where all these guys are going to demand targets, where you have Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Saquon Barkley out of the backfield. Now you're adding in, you know, and then trying to find enough work for Evan Ingram to be a factor. And he struggled to stay healthy. We're talking about a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy the past couple of seasons. And those are all concerns when you're factoring in his draft stock. If he was, you know, ECR tight end 12 and he was, you know, being drafted in ADP around there, I would probably be on board, at least taking the flyer, because he has the talent to be a top five fantasy tight end. We've seen it. He's done it. However, when he's being...
I don't know if he has the talent. If he gets the volume, he can be a top five guy, but he's not getting the volume with Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, Saquon Barkley.
It's a sexy offense, isn't it? And they did improve the line year over year. I don't know. I think the Giants are going to be better than the Jets this year. I don't know if that's a hot take or not.
I don't know. Both teams are so bad, I don't really care either. But here's what it comes down to.
Well, I'm setting the bar low, but I'm still saying I think the Giants are going to have a better record than the Jets when all's said and done.
Evan Ingram had 115 targets his rookie season. Because Odell Beckham had 41 because he was hurt. Brandon Marshall had 33 because he got hurt. Sterling Shepard only played 10 games because he got hurt. Their number one wide receiver was Roger Lewis. They had Shane Vereen catching third most targets on the team.
Was that the year they both got hurt in the same game too? Right, Odell and Marshall.
It was bad, man.
Remember that? I remember I was out at dinner with my family and I saw something happening like on the TV in the bar area. And they're like, oh yeah, one of the Giants receivers is out. And like a couple of minutes later, it was another one. I was like, oh my God, he lost everybody in the same game. That's brutal, man.
So Ingram is not getting 115 targets in this offense. And he's been one of the most inefficient tight ends in fantasy football since he joined 3 years ago. Not happening this year, guys. Yates, how low do you have him? Because I've got him outside my top 12.
Wow.
I do as well. Let me pull that up.
That's shocking that you guys have him outside 15. Of tight end one. That's the bigger surprise for me. Not that you don't like him, but that you don't like him as a tight end one.
His ECR is tight end six.
So who are your last three tight ends?
Oh, let's see. I've got Jonnu Smith, Rob Gronkowski, Hayden Hurst, and Noah Fant ahead of him.
I mean, Fant I like a lot. And Gronk, I don't know what we're going to get. I mean, Gronk is such a wild card. I have no idea. Who are yours, Kyle?
I have Hooper at tight end 12, Gesicki I have at 11, and then Gronk at 10.
Gesicki's on my list. I mean, we could just kind of mention him for a second. Like, I don't get this. I don't get this at all. Like, I'm waiting for somebody to explain this to me. I feel like this is one of those, like, every year we have to go through this Trey Burton syndrome, or like there's some tight end that everybody wants to make happen, and it never happens. Like, some guys it just doesn't happen with. And I feel like Gesicki's that guy. Why is he on your tight end one list? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's looking at the opportunity in the offense. And so I think that, you know, you have Devontae Parker, who will, of course, be a factor. Matt Breida, I think, can siphon away some of those targets, but I don't have him necessarily projected for, you know, more than 55 targets. And then looking at Preston Williams, I have him for over 100 targets. Albert Wilson in the 70s, and then Gesicki is looking at 90 plus targets based on just pure volume and opportunity. So based on this offense and the fact that I still think they took a lot of steps forward and they're going to be much, much improved from last year, but you're still talking about them needing to pass the ball quite a ton. So, and Gesicki is one of the most athletic tight ends that we've ever seen come into the NFL. He's made some highlight plays.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive, but then again, the efficiency is not there. I think Preston Williams is a lot better than we're giving him credit for.
Well, that was going to be my argument. If you want to hammer about efficiency, like, I don't know how, like...
He's the most inefficient and not even close.
I mean, he had 89 targets last year and he caught 51 of them. Like, that ain't getting it done.
Yeah, and I'll just say this, like, to put this into perspective too, like, the difference between my tight end 11 and tight end 15 is 9 points.
Right.
You know, so like these guys are
right. Well, that's like RPV and Black Book. The same thing. It's like there's a percentage point difference between the guys, which means that don't overpay for any of them because none of them are going to move the needle. Like, you know, when you're down to that grouping, you know, that's why RPV is an effective thing, because it shows you, like, you know, a certain point, you know, certain guys at certain positions aren't going to move the needle. So why are you overdrafting them just to fill a roster slot? That's crazy.
Yeah. I also love Albert Wilson coming back. Jakeem Grant's coming back extraordinarily fast. So I just think Gesicki doesn't get as many targets this year, but I get it, Yates. I also get it what you're saying, Joe. Back to you, Yates. Why don't you give us two, and we'll probably get back around to you for one more after this. So
sure. Yeah, we've mentioned him with Evan Engram. It's Sterling Shepard, and it's just based on the fact, I mean, his ADP is super low. So, you know, it's not like it's one of these guys who's in the first round that I'm saying that I just don't want to touch, you know, but even looking at where he's being drafted right now, Sterling Shepard is a player that I just don't want on any of my rosters. We've seen him be a factor and like have very high target totals in the games that he's on the field. However, then again, same arguments for Evan Engram, that very crowded wide receiving core, and the concussions are a real concern with Sterling Shepard. I think if he has one more, we could be talking about him missing significant time this season. So that's just a very legitimate concern. He's someone who I'm just willing to let someone else draft.
Sure. All right, and who do you have for your next guy?
Yeah, I'll go with Keenan Allen. And I've talked about Keenan Allen before that on this podcast, that, you know, you're looking at the offense completely changing philosophies, and the target totals are going to come crashing down. And so with Keenan Allen not being a guy who is very touchdown, you know, dependent.
Yeah,
or
he was on my list too, same reasoning.
Yeah, you know, like he's not someone that you can project for high touchdown totals regularly season after season. He needs to be doing it on the back of 150 targets, and he's been extremely consistent. He's been great. This is not just me, you know, bagging on Keenan Allen for no reason. I like him, the player. But as we look at this offense and trying to figure out where the targets are going to come from, and that those are going to come crashing down, so then he needs to be making up for it with high touchdown totals. And you're talking about Tyrod Taylor, who's never finished with more than 20 passing touchdowns in a season. I just don't want any part of Keenan Allen, especially at his ECR or ADP.
Everything that Kyle said is 100% spot on. It's why Keenan Allen's on my list too. And you know, let's not also forget that there could be a transition to another quarterback. And I don't even know what that's going to mean for Keenan Allen too, if Herbert ends up taking over at some point, or for the last six games, or what have you. So there's a lot of questions there. And the problem is, like, you are getting a discount on Keenan Allen, but like, do you want to take him over the upside of guys like Devontae Parker and Cortland Sutton and guys like that? I was like, I don't know if I can wrap my mind around that. Like, that's a hard part for me to digest there. And I think Kyle's spot on there, because when you're lowering the volume, on a guy that is volume based in terms of his value, that's a very scary proposition. So I think that's something you really need to be aware of with Keenan Allen in 2020.
That's fair. Yeah, and he doesn't score many touchdowns either. ECR wide receiver 24, though. Oh, baby, am I going to get some shares of Keenan Allen because he's a wide receiver one every year. So what if he drops five spots? He's still way out producing his ECR, so I'm all
his
in
ADP,
on Keenan.
His ADP is 19 right
I was gonna
now,
say,
too.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's at 18 when I'm looking at right now
is
with
it?
The PPR standings. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's interesting. So the experts are like a full round and a half, two rounds lower.
He's ahead of A.J. Brown. He's ahead of... Yeah, Sutton, Shark, Parker, all those guys, Lockett, that's that grouping.
The first guy that I'm going to avoid here, it's Cortland Sutton. And the reason why is they added...
Talk about efficiency. What more does this guy have
they
to do?
They added all these weapons, man. He's not getting 124 Great. Targets again.
Awesome. Less focus on him. Even better.
I don't know, man. You bring in Jerry Jeudy, maybe the best rookie wide receiver we've seen since the Mike Evans class.
Look, I love Jerry Jeudy. I this whole Denver Bronco offense is fascinating to me. Like, I can't wait to see.
And they're going to run the ball so much. They brought in Melvin Gordon, too, to go with Philip
Yeah, but
Lindsay.
You know what? The funny thing is, like, last year you watched and they would literally, every single play with Joe Flacco, they would tick down to one before they hiked the ball just to kind of sit on the clock as long as they could. It was fascinating to watch. It was almost comical. Like, you got to set your watch to. It's like, every play, here we go. We're just going to try to milk the clock and slowly just drain game clock away. But, I mean, geez, I thought Cortland Sutton was so good. And last year, with the having to play with Joe Flacco most of the year, it was terrible. And then
he's better than Drew Locke.
Well, I was going to say, everyone's like, oh, forget it. He's going to be terrible with Locke. But he wasn't terrible with Locke. I don't know. I look at Sutton so far. And look, I'm not saying he's an all-world guy necessarily. But I'll take him as a wide receiver 3 or 4. I'm perfectly comfortable there.
Well, yeah, man. I'd take him as my wide receiver 3. You kidding me? But he's going as a high-end wide receiver, too. No
He's at 20
way,
right
man.
Now, so I think you can get him at 3. I got him in as a 4 last year, and I played him all the time. he's just one of my personal favorites. I just can't quit him. I like Sutton.
So can you name the wide receiver that finished second in terms of targets on their team last year?
Tim Patrick, probably.
Tim Patrick was right there. It was Deshaun Hamilton barely over Tim Patrick. No,
I was gonna say
I mean, that's who he was competing with. And now he's competing with Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler? No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but they have a real offensive coordinator now. So just saying.
Okay.
That could change. Like we could finally, start to, change the type of plays we're running and things like that. When they had Flacco, it was just brutal. But look, I understand what you're saying. It's point taken. There are more options now, and I would be more concerned if he was like a Keenan Allen guy, was all volume, but he was so efficient. Like, he would catch 5 of 6 balls and a touchdown. You go, oh, awesome. Like, that's great. Like, that's exactly, I want that on my team.
All right, Joe, what do you have left? 2 left?
All right. I'll rattle these off. Now, this first one here for me is tough because I really like this guy and I'm rooting for him. I like him as a dude. I'm just concerned. It's James Conner.
Yeah,
I'd
me too.
Love to have the Pittsburgh Steeler running back. We all know historically that's a really good spot to be owning. But it's difficult for me to get in the Connor business. I'm going to put the caveat on this one, too, where it's, as my third running back, if somehow in the draft was like, skewing a certain way, I'd be like, cool. But if I had to rely on him as my second, I'd be really worried because I'm just concerned. Does he hold up over a whole season? And I was a guy that had him a lot in the year that Le'Veon Bell did not play. And it was incredible. Boon, because you got him for free and he was very good for the first at least 10 games or so of the season. And then the other guy is, again, a guy that I might take some shots on, but I really shouldn't. And I should yell at myself for doing it. It's Will Fuller, because
I'm drafting Will Fuller this year. Yeah,
I know. It's like, I feel the same way. It's like, I want to do it, but like, I'm saying this on the podcast in hopes that I will listen to it. And I will remind myself at some point, don't do this. That's a stupid thing. Don't do this. You're going to hate yourself. Come October, November, you're going to hate yourself for doing this. So I'm that's why I'm saying it out loud. I think it's helpful. It's like therapy here.
Yeah, it's what do you think? Are you drafting either of these guys?
No, Connor was on my list. So and it really comes down to his health and the fact that the Steelers keep investing in backup running backs. And I think
that's another thing. Good point, dude.
Yeah, I think Anthony McFarland is going to be more of a factor. Even though they want to rely on one running back, I think that they have to look at Connor realistically this season and say, we have to keep his workload light if he's going to be playing all 16 games. So, he's a very, very talented back. It hurts me to say that, but it's just one that, but the other side of it is that his ADP is super low. And it does come down to what Joe said, where are you getting him as far as a roster construction? Are you getting him as your RB2? RB3. You know, I'm getting him in super late in Dynasty startups because no one wants to touch him in Dynasty. And I'm getting him as my RB4 or 5 in some places.
Oh, that's like, crazy.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I will definitely take that.
But like in a redraft, wouldn't you rather have the stability of David Montgomery?
Oh, absolutely.
Le'Veon Bell and James Conner are here 19 and 20 on Fantasy Pros in terms of on the PPR side.
Yeah,
here,
give me Bell, the rankings. Man.
I think Bell is the safer play, but I think Connor has the upside, and that's where I struggle. Like, I think the floor is better Le'Veon Bell because I think he's going to lead the Jets in receptions this year.
But, <That's fair.
laughs> right?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody else want to make that bet? I don't think so, right? Nobody else wants to take that on. But it's difficult because, you got to kind of put the personal stuff aside. Like, you love those Pittsburgh Steelers offense when Roethlisberger's healthy. You love what the running back position yields in that offense. You love the story of James Conner, and he's such a good dude. But, like, you have to be realistic and say, as a running back, too, it's questionable. As a flex running back, sign me up. Like, I'm all about upside there of guys like him, guys like Kareem Hunt. Those are the guys I want as my flex RBs because those are the guys that when I play them on bye weeks, hopefully they're healthy and, you know, I can shuffle them around. And their upside is they're going to have RB1 style games, even though they might not be an RB1.
That's fair. All right. Here's my last guy. And actually, it's like 10 guys. Don't draft the 49ers defense. Because you're going to have to draft them like 3 rounds early. Don't draft the Steelers, the Ravens, the Patriots, the Bills. If you're drafting any other DST besides the Eagles, we aren't friends anymore. Because the Eagles the first 3 weeks are going up against Washington, the Rams and Jared Goff, and then the Cincinnati Bengals. And then the 49ers. Oh, and then Big Ben, who led the league in passing interceptions last year before taking a full year off. I mean, the first 5 weeks of the Eagles' schedule, I am certain they will be a top 3 DST through 5 weeks of the season. And then at that point, we're streaming anyway, right? So go out and get this defense. This is basically free. Their ADP right now is undrafted. I'm taking the Eagles everywhere, and there's no chance I'm reaching for the 49ers, Steelers, Ravens, or Pats.
I completely agree.
It's tough. You know, it's hard to support. Like the Ravens defense is so good on all 3 levels. That's the one where if I'm going to...
And they just keep adding talent too, right?
And they just keep adding, like, it's... I mean, they had a good draft too. It's like, oh, man. Like, that's the one that if I'm going to reach, I'll reach for them. But... And I'm somebody who owned the Pats everywhere last year, not because I'm a Pats fan, but because I thought that defense was very good at the end of last year and people didn't realize. Like, when you shut out Patrick Mahomes in the championship game for a half, that spoke volumes to me about how good that defense was. And then they went up and basically held the Rams to under 10 points. That was like, and everyone was like, oh yeah. And they're like a free defense the next year in fantasy. And I took them because they were free. When the last round of every draft was like, well, I'll take the Patriots and nobody else wants to take them. And they always were a turnover defense. But I think that's the thing. It's so difficult to repeat. The Ravens are the one that I pause on, guys, just because you look at all 3 levels there and I'm like, oh man, that's a really good situation there in Baltimore.
All right, Yates, you get the last one, buddy. Make it count.
I'll go with Cooper Kupp. Looking at Cooper Kupp, just where his ECR right now is 17. His ADP is wide receiver 12. And
no,
I
it's
do
not.
See,
are you serious?
Yep. I do not see a path here. I mean, check me on that. But I do not see a path here for Cooper Kupp to return that value. Nowhere close to
it. He was the
it.
Number 4 fantasy football wide receiver last season.
I know, but he did it on the back of, you know, before the offensive philosophy changed where, you know, weeks 1 through 9, I think 9 was their bye week, I think. So that's when they changed things up and they went to heavy 12 personnel. And then we saw Robert Woods just ascend and Cooper Kupp was in the wide receiver 30s over that time frame.
You're
I just do not,
right.
I do not see a way, a path, anything unless the Rams change their offense again, but I haven't seen any indication this offseason that they're willing to do that. I don't see a path that Cooper Kupp returns either wide receiver 12 or wide receiver 17 value this season.
By the way, that was not me saying, well, he was wide receiver 4, so he's a wide receiver 1 in my book. I cannot believe his ADP is wide receiver 12. I've got him 22, man, and I feel weird about that.
I mean, I get it. I get it from like the fans' perspective where Cooper Kupp has been amazing. Like for, again, we can look back and we can say
he was amazing for a stretch. Yeah,
exactly. We can look back and we could say, well, you know, yeah, he was the wide receiver 4 last year. The previous year before that, he was great. You know, he's just been consistently such a good fantasy football wide receiver. But then I think if you didn't own Cooper Kupp last year in fantasy, you're still, you didn't notice that he fell off a cliff, right? If you owned him, you knew that his production was not the same as what it was the first half of the season. So I think that's part of it. I think that people are still looking at Cooper Kupp with, you know, these rose-colored glasses. That's the phrase, right? Whatever.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like, you know, like when Chris Farley is trying to insult somebody, you can shut up with your rosy, rose-colored Shut up, Richard.
Yeah, I'll have to look that one up because I definitely botched that one. But
do you know who Chris Farley is, Yates?
I do know who Chris Farley is. Thank you very much. Yes.
Oh, are you throwing shade about movie references, Bobby? I don't think that's what you want to do.
I was just throwing shade about Yates being so young.
That's the only one. The SNL is the only one that Bobby can actually throw shade on. So
okay, there we go. So I hit on everybody won on that reference. Yeah, yes, exactly. Goal. So awesome.
Yeah, I Cooper Kupp, man, I'm avoiding him at all costs this year.
So he went from playing literally the most snaps in football over the first 12 weeks to all of a sudden, oh no. 72%, 29%, 61%, 61%. What were the Rams doing? Is he done, Joe?
Well, or it sounds like there was an injury he was hiding too. Possibly.
Maybe. And if that's the case, then I want him. But
if there was 29%, that had to be an injury. But...
yeah, that's... Well, here's the thing. This is a true story. Most of my wide receiving corps last year were these three guys. It was Cooper Kupp, Godwin, and Courtland Sutton. And it was good year. Those are my three. And it was because... of that grouping that where I like that soft middle of wide receiver two, where you found guys that were you thought could have wide receiver one games. Now, Godwin ended up being a true wide receiver one when all is said and done. So that absolutely worked out. But that was all there. Like all the data was there to support that. And even though he was rising, like where you got him ADP in June or July was, you know, two rounds more expensive by the time you got into August. And that's fair. Like I was still willing to pay that. But I'm looking at this year and the same kind of guys like Calvin Ridley's that guy for me. And I know we've had this conversation here a couple weeks ago on the show, but like I'm looking at that kind of thing and he's going right after Cooper Kupp and Woods. And I think I'd rather have Ridley than both of them.
Why don't you give us the other two names, by the way, since you're obviously going to nail three wide receivers again. Who else do you have besides Ridley? DJ Chark and Terry McLaurin, please say yes.
Well, look, it's definitely Calvin Ridley this year. He's that guy that I think is going to go from a two to a low end one, kind of like where Godwin in my mind was. You know, it's funny you're gonna laugh, but I think something was awry last year with that whole Cooper Kupp in the second half. Either it was an injury or just something was just off there. And I would actually put Cooper Kupp back into the same conversation. Now, if you want to pivot to Woods, I get that too. I understand. But again, I'm looking for high floor, high volume, and he can score touchdowns too, Cooper Kupp. That's that one thing about him is like he can get in the end zone, which is kind of surprising. And the reason why I like it again this year is because I don't think they have an answer at running back. I think he's going to become kind of like their Julian Edelman almost, where that's how they're going to move the football through Cooper Kupp. And as long as they have to do that, I think I still want him. So like those are two guys that I'm probably gonna have a lot of shares of again. I don't know about the third one. I'll have to think about that some more when we get into the next show. Maybe
just make a DJ Chark. Just make a DJ Chark.
I do like DJ. Problem is, I'm just not, you know, I'm the quarterback guy, and I don't see it in Minshew. It's cute. The mustache is awesome. It was a fun ride. It's just. You know, it's a good story. It was a feel-good story, but I can't get into it, man.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Give Joe a follow on Twitter at JoePizzaPS17. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Yates is at Kyle Y NFL. And don't forget, Joe is also the author of the number one best-selling Fantasy Black Book series. I believe it's number one right now on Amazon as well. All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Dynasty Owner. If you guys want to compete against the best and make the same decisions NFL owners and general managers make, then make sure to check out www.dynastyowner.com. And please be sure to select Fantasy Pros Podcast as your source. And we've got a contest going on I need to remind you about. Here we go.
Ooh, all right. Contests.
You guys can beat tags at the Beat Tags Draft Contest, fantasypros.com/mock to sign up. And what you're going to need to do, you need to go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros, subscribe, and it only takes a few seconds to do, okay? And then you go to fantasypros.com/mock just to enter a few quick questions. We're going to be picking the contestants to mock draft on the YouTube channel against tags on Friday, July 10th. And then the contest is going to be on Tuesday, July 14th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Again, that's fantasypros.com/mock. And don't forget to check out our draft assistant that can sync with your league's online draft. You guys are going to love this. It is like cheating, like bringing a team of experts into your war room with you. It's at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. For Kyle Yates and Joe Pizzapia, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a pool full of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your pool's out kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge.
or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.